Welcome to Brands Decoded podcast, where we speak with some of the best founders crafting the next generation of brands. I'm Rahul from Times Internet, where we back consumer internet companies.
Hi, I'm Zoeb from Sauce VC that backs early stage consumer brands. We came together to build the Brands Decoded community, where members eat, drink, sleep, and craft brands. Our guests today are Ajay and Ashwajit. And we recommend for this episode you accompany it with a steaming cup of coffee for the brainwaves and learnings we share on their journey building Sleepy Owl Coffee. Pleasure to have you with us today, Ajay and Ashwajit. So guys, why don't I start us off by asking you, what was your go-to coffee brand before you guys started Sleepy Owl?
Well, before I started Sleepy Owl, I was an investment banker in New York. And my go-to coffee was whatever was my closest office pantry's offering. So never really had the luxury to get out of the office building for like weeks on end. So that was my first spot. I always ventured to take a break.
Yeah, so for me, I was in law school for 5 years. I had very little pocket money. So all I could afford, unlike Ajay, New York was instant coffee by Nescafe. And that is pretty much what I drank. But interestingly, I never had it with milk though. So I always had like Nescafe with water and ice. So you can imagine what that tasted like.
Wow. That's thanks for being that honest. And now that you brought Nescafe, let me ask you a question. In India, pretty much for many years, you know, it's been Nescafe means coffee, right? Like just the way Maggi has meant noodles, right? And Nestle's got one of the best distribution networks in the country. How do you look to create this challenger distribution in this coffee space?
Well, I think we're very fortunate to be part of this generation where internet has democratized everything, right? From information to, you know, consumption and trickle down into building companies where companies of the past could not really muscle their way against these Goliaths. Now we are able to challenge them in a level playing field through D2C, where the winners are actually honestly all consumers. Companies are able to directly reach out to the consumers, provide them best quality products, really without having to spend millions and millions of dollars on, you know, large TVCs to create that perception. We actually talk to our customers and give them what they want to have. So I think that is our biggest moat against any of the existing Goliaths. And that's how we're going to disrupt them.
Got it. So when you guys were starting out, typically when we look at coffee-focused businesses, they can be of different following formats, right? Just to mention a few, like instant coffee or specialty coffee or, focusing on the retail experience with coffee. So how did you guys decide what format to go for and why?
Yeah, so, when we started in 2016, as you know, that we started with only one product, which was our cold brew box, which was only delivered in Delhi. So we were direct to consumer first. We weren't even in a retail store, but we only did cold brew. Although even from the get-go, we wanted to be in different formats, which today we are about 4 years into the journey. But we started just with cold brew because A, we wanted to stand out. We didn't want to launch with like four different formats and have multiple SKUs and sort of get lost in the crowd. So the idea was to have one great product, something that no one else was doing in the way that we wanted it to be done. So when we started in 2016, there were a couple of companies sort of entering the specialty market. Instant coffee has always been there pretty much all our lives. So the idea was that, we'll start with cold brew, we'll stand out, we'll make sure it's a great product, and then we'll venture into other things, right? So because I personally believe brands don't get built overnight, and it's very important to sort of filter through the noise. And that's why we started just with cold brew, and then we eventually ventured into other formats.
Sweet. Ashwajit, I just wanted to, ask you, you said cold brew, cappuccino, mocha, Americano, latte, espresso, flat white, AeroPress, French press, pour over, cold brew, medium roast, light roast, dark roast, decaffeinated. I mean, who knows about these different kind of coffee? Because most folks still you know, don't get it. And I've seen the journey myself from, you know, people lining up for that shadi wali coffee, the coffee machine counter at the weddings, to now a cafe culture, right? And from there to, you know, a cold brew to a dalgona, right? How has India evolved? Would love for you to throw some light on that.
Yeah, sure. You know, first of all, to be fair, that shadi wali coffee, especially when you're hungover from a wedding night, is actually really good. Right, it's like filled with sugar, it's milky, and it's nice, right? So I'll be fair to the shadi wali coffee especially. But you know, you're absolutely right. Like I feel in the coffee industry, you know, there are just way too many terms that sound like science to a lot of people, and that I think still stands true till today. Because I mean, obviously there's a small niche that understands all these terms and will be able to tell you the difference between the latte and a flat white, and there'll be some people who'll be able to even argue with you and debate on the micro bubbles in a flat white, right? But from the get-go, and you will see this throughout Sleepy Owl's communication, we prefer to keep things simple. The whole our entire communication is around real good coffee. What makes a real good coffee is not what we get into, because I feel that's where you confuse the customer. So we like to keep things simple, sort of focus more on good quality, real good coffee, make it convenient, but not so focus too much on the words that may not mean a lot to different kinds of people.
I would say, like, I'd like to add to that by saying that, yes, there is a lot of jargon going around, and I feel that is part of the reason where India is not consuming a lot of coffee, because we are one of the largest producers of coffee in the world, one of the largest exporters. But when you look at coffee consumption in comparison to tea, it is 1:30 cups on a per capita basis. So reason is that there hasn't really been a brand out there that has tried to challenge the existing notions of coffee and really show the consumers and make them experience what a wonderful beverage it can be. And you know, the transition has started, right? It started about 15-20 years ago with the entry of barista CCD onto the scene, with India opening up, MNC culture coming on board, where people started working longer hours and they needed a beverage with caffeine to keep them going. So that is how it started. And I think now brands like Sleepy Owl are truly you know, taking it to the next level by entering the consumer's home and providing them excellent, you know, experience.
Right. And you know, keeping in line with the experience bit you just mentioned, while we were researching you know, about your company on some of the other podcasts, we learned that you wanted to establish or keep the goal of Sleepy Owl to be a clean label, no preservative coffee brand. So what we want to understand is that with this goal in mind, how does this affect the brand strategy that you had, and how did it affect the visual strategy that you had? Because you see, it is a very, you know, visual brand, and the, you know, it's a very distinct visual experience, which you're fans of, by the way.
Yeah, so to answer your question, I feel, you know, a brand today, especially in the whole direct to consumer space, you know, where a customer is just a tweet away, which is something that you could never imagine, let's say 20 years ago. I feel everyone to a large extent is would like to say that they're clean label. So do we. But I feel that, you know, just saying that you're a clean label and no preservatives is not enough, like just putting it on your packaging or just putting it in a communication. So, you know, there's no science to this, but this is at least what we believe in from a brand and an aesthetics point of view, that if you have if you have beautiful photos, a clean design, easy to understand communication, which is very, and just your content, which is very visually pleasing, you automatically give the customer the perception that this is going to be clean. Like, they won't even want to ask you that question, right? Because when you look at it, you feel that this is something, so much effort has gone into just presenting this product, you just assume that it's going to be clean label. And I feel that goes a long way than just saying that no preservatives and real ingredients. And that's one of our strategies. And obviously, you'll see this across our website and other visual content digitally.
And that is obviously the brand design language, right? But it also flows into the complete, like, our values, which is to provide products, because no amount of good design can substitute a bad product, right? You might make good design and get your first buy, but you will never get repeats, right? So it has to, the foundation of it is to provide high quality products that are convenient to use. And I personally and Ashwajit, we are very clear on something that we'll only make and sell products that we will personally consume. So I think that continues to drive that product development for us.
Interesting. And, you know, you started out as a D2C brand and eventually, you know, found a presence in physical retail stores as well. So, you know, there'll be many listeners who have launched their brands or are looking to launch their brands. So what is the trick to get acceptance in retail?
Well, there is a funny story around that, because we actually, when we started in 2016, like everyone else at that time, thought, okay, it's a part of the grocery list. It should be in a retail store. So we took our box and went to a store and got laughed at and kicked out of the store for trying, even attempting to put our product in the beverage shelf. They didn't think we would have any takers. So by default, we were forced to, at that point, to go online and set up a Shopify store and try to reach out to customers, you know, directly. But something phenomenal happened within 6 months, because of the stickiness that the brand had with consumers. Those same consumers started asking the retailers that, hey, there's this new coffee company, I use it and I want it to be part of my basket. Can you guys get that? And those same retailers who kicked us out eventually came back calling, you know, about 6-7 months later. But what we learned from that experience was something very clear to us early on, that we want to be a digital first brand. So all our products, when they're designed, built, are from that aspect, because we do not want to discern, because distribution has its limitations, retail has its limitations, and it is extremely expensive to build. So we're very clear from day one to reach out to maximum customers across the country. We have to have a digital first approach, and that continues to be our first approach. Beyond that, obviously, we have the omni-channel and retail presence helps and supports us to drive sales and brand recognition. But in that, we are very, 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 very strict in terms of how we go about it. We're very focused on our two key markets. One, Delhi, which is our home market, and second is Bombay, a city we all loved and where this name Sleepy Owl came about. So those are the two cities where we are present. In that, the retail strategy is very simple. We try to identify stores within neighborhoods where we do good Shopify sales. So obviously data is what drives our strategy and decision. And then we double down on those stores, place our products, distribute list, and ensure that we are always very tight on the numbers to ensure we get good store level throughputs. So our focus is more on secondary sales to drive the business, because obviously majority of our business is online run. So we can build it in the right way, rather than, you know, a lot of practices that some businesses have of dumping stocks just to inflate sales. So in order to avoid that, we're very, very focused on just two markets, and we've had success because of that as well.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, in light of that discussion, you know, if I have a question and if you don't wish to respond to it, or, you know, we can edit it out maybe later, is this question around your conversion rate? So essentially, you know, for our listeners and from our research, we've learned that across brands and across different websites and categories, Sleepy Owl has one of the highest conversion rates, if not the highest conversion rate in the D2C space. So, you know, would love to know how you've managed to achieve that.
It's a secret sauce. Ashwajit will never reveal it.
I mean, obviously, I won't give you the percentage, but you are right. Our conversion rate is much more than the industry benchmark. I don't think there's one single thing that we do that helps us. If you go on sleepyowl.co, you will see that us, unlike many direct-to-consumer brands, we don't have a template that we follow. Everything is built from scratch, from the ground up. We don't use an existing theme. And this goes on to show that we put in a lot of effort across our digital presence. So there are certain things that we do, which is, you know, again, I feel that if you have beautiful landing pages, very clean photography, simple design, and most importantly, great copywriting, it goes a very, very long way. So I'll give you an example. And this is for all the people who have like a Shopify store or like any other direct-to-consumer store. Our abandoned cart checkout is double of what industry standard is. By abandoned cart checkout, I mean to say that our abandoned cart recovery is pretty much double of what the industry standard is. I think one of the reasons that happens is because the moment you receive that email, the copy in that is very—it's funny, it's sort of quirky. If you try to order, let's say, a cold brew box and you didn't order it, the email will say, "Got cold feet, get cold brew instead." You know, it's just like, you know, these little tweaks here and there that make people smile. And I think a lot of these hacks sort of go a long way to help us with the conversion. But I don't think, even if I was to give out the secret, there's just like one little thing that you can do. It's a culmination of a lot of different things. But again, it goes on to just focusing a lot on creating a very aesthetically pleasing website that people just sort of get convinced when they're on it.
Very interesting. I mean, you know, conversions is great. And I feel subscriptions is next. So how do you see subscriptions working for you guys? And how do you think it's going to evolve for Sleepy Owl in the future?
See, ideally, if the challenge with subscription is lack of infrastructure and a lot of constant policy changes by the RBI, which are not very consumer friendly, because at the end of the day, after, it's not like the West where you can have a card on subscription and continue to get charged and have a seamless experience over here. Subscription requires constant review, constant two-factor authentication system. And as well as there is, existing backend infrastructure available is not very robust. So I think those sort of technical things need to be solved first for us to really provide an excellent subscription experience from a transaction perspective for our customers. But coffee is a very subscription friendly business because it is it drives repeat rates based on, you know, once you like your coffee, you like to have it the same way for, you know, eternity. So from that perspective, it is healthy, and we're constantly trying to do our own innovative ways of reaching out to customers to ensure that we have a healthy retention and repeat from our customers for all our products.
Thank you for sharing that. So now I want to switch gears a little bit and ask you a question about your packaging. You know, from what we've observed, Sleepy Owl is one of the most innovative packaging formats, in the space. And I recall, seeing multiple posts by Ashwajit on LinkedIn about the work that has gone around your packaging and some of the, new innovations that you've got, such as the coffee filter bag, etc. So in light of this, I just wanted to understand, what is your core driving principle around all the packaging and the packaging design that Sleepy Owl looks to put out?
Yeah, so I'll start this with saying that, you know, at least internally, we like to believe that Sleepy Owl is a brand that leads and it doesn't follow. If you go across the timeline of Sleepy Owl, you know, we started with the cold brew box. It had a tap and it had like a ready to drink cold brew coffee in it. It was something that was just never done. But that was obviously Delhi based only. And then we started getting, because that's the beauty of the internet, right? Like a lot of people started to reach out to us, but we couldn't ship to them. And then we came up with the brew packs, which is the same cold brew, which goes in the box, except that you need to add water. But we took took the guesswork out of it. And we were the first people to do it, which is not the case today. Then the same consumers told us they wanted hot coffee. And our idea was that maybe we'll do ground coffee at some point, which we've done this year, but like maybe like about 3 years since we launched the hot brew. The idea was to just make things convenient and to sort of do things that push the envelope, as opposed to just seeing what's in the West and just doing an Indianized version of that. So I think convenience is pretty much at the core of when it comes to Sleepy Owl packaging.
Interesting. And coffee essentially is a product that can lose taste with time. So, I mean, unlike wine, which gets better, right? So can you throw some light on the execution and on the supply chain? As we know, coffee is one of the most complicated supply chain processes.
Yeah, so we've obviously from day one to ensure a tight supply chain, we've developed a proprietary system around this to make sure our, from roasting to packaging, the time frame is as minimum as possible. We try to source and are constantly in touch with the leading manufacturers of flexible packaging to ensure that the permeability of our materials that we are using is not only is it sustainable, but also in makes sure that there is a freshness of the end product over the course of its life. So I think these are the few factors. And then obviously making sure that packaging plays the biggest role. So that is where innovation and that is where we've been very fortunate to have worked with some of the leading vendors in this country to help us allow to maintain freshness of a product.
Got it. Also wanted to understand, what do you think of the essentially many, many existing brands leverage merchandising and use it in a way to get evangelists for the brand? And we've seen Sleepy Owl tumblers and mugs. Why is it such an important thing in this particular category?
I didn't know it was that important a thing for people in this category. Very honestly, from personal experience, merchandise is one of the most fun things we do. I enjoy it the most because I think our owl, just the Sleepy Owl logo, the owl, it's colorful, it's fun, and we like to experiment on different products how that owl can play a role and also help us with our coffee sales. Yeah, I mean, I think the base of just the merchandise focus is turning customers into fans, right? Like someone could be even drinking a cup of tea, and if they're drinking it in a Sleepy Owl cup, it's just a very good brand reminder that that we exist. But yeah, we do a lot of things beyond the merchandise that you see on the website. So it could be fun stickers that go out with certain amount of orders a month. The tumblers was actually an experiment that just worked. Like, we didn't expect the tumblers to do really well. It sold out under a month, our first shipment of the tumblers. So we continue to get surprised. So growing up, Ajay and I went to boarding school, and we used to have these old school enamel mugs, like these military mugs. And growing up, we didn't know a single brand that used to sell them. And this is how we actually came up with the enamel mugs that Sleepy Owl sells today, which is one of our best sellers. Like, it flies off our Shopify, if I can say so, Shopify shelf. So, a lot of the merchandise is some stuff that we personally enjoy and personally like to consume. And then some things like tumblers can sometimes just surprise you. But the whole rationale behind it is to turn customers into fans.
So, if I ask you a question about tea per se, in a country like India, it's always been very culturally relevant, right? There are terms such as chai sutta, chai pakoda, chai biscuit, which is incredibly popular. And, there's like a whole slew of media around it as well. So keeping this in mind, are you also looking to establish coffee in a more cultural sense as opposed to just a brand? Or perhaps, wanting to participate in such a cultural sense?
See, you mentioned all these terms, which are very interesting, but, tea, we owe our tea history to our colonial past, right? Hence, we became tea drinkers. It is not something which is very, indigenous to our country, right? So, whereas coffee was brought into the country, not by a colonizer, but by a saint called Baba Budan, about 500 years ago, around the same time. Unfortunately, we did not have imperialists at that time who tried to take this. They brought their culture from England and made that our culture, right? So it is our adopted culture. So as a brand, Sleepy Owl will change that, and I do believe we are as with our brand connect with millennials, the younger generation, with change in consumption habit. I grew up drinking coffee, and cold coffee was my favorite. Whenever Horlicks was a bad day, but good days were, I was treated with cold coffee, and I want to ensure, and we want to ensure that We, as a company, Sleepy Owl's mission is to make more Indians drink coffee. And you will see a lot of fun things around it over the next few years. And maybe some of them are able to go viral in the way that the same as the terms you mentioned earlier as well.
Interesting, you said viral. So during the lockdowns, I think Dalgona coffee became really viral. So just wanted to ask you, did that kind of help in any way, or was it a tailwind or a headwind for you guys?
To be honest, no, it didn't really help us. We were not part of the movement because we didn't sell the product that makes it. No, I don't think it did, but I'll let Ajay add.
But I feel it was great for the coffee, right? And that's what makes me happy, that while as a brand, we were not really positioned to offer products for that. But I think for entire coffee space, it was just really good getting more coffee tea drinkers to become coffee drinkers and experiment with coffee. I think that is phenomenal from a macroeconomic perspective for the industry in large. And then obviously, like, you know, those trends keep changing. Last year it was Dalgona, next year it is this year it was Profi, and hopefully something which is more aligned with us in a couple of years. So we'll keep working on making sure that happens.
Or maybe we'll be the ones who lead that virality. Something, maybe we'll figure out something over the next few years.
Sweet. I just wanted to ask you another question. You know, we've seen Luckin Coffee in China, you know, growing and getting viral. Do you think India has the potential for such an aggressive launch for coffee? Do you see that day coming any soon?
Well, you gave an example of Luckin Coffee. I seriously hope not. The company was a fraud. They defrauded a lot of their stakeholders, investors. They got delisted from the stock exchanges. They lied about their numbers. So I hope no company takes inspiration from that, at least from an ethics perspective. Whereas talking about large trends of coffee coming into the country, I definitely believe there is going to be a lot of movement across the board, whether it is retail, offline, direct to consumer. This is one of the fastest growing categories from a CAGR perspective. You can talk to any category manager today at Amazon. Coffee is one of the top five growing categories within grocery, which is going to be the last frontier, which is going to be democratized over the next, 5 to 10 years by e-commerce.
Right. So I have a question on your existing product range. You have the the ready to drink beverage, which is highly differentiated and, honestly, one of the first RTD products to come out from a coffee brand, especially all these new D2C coffee brands. So specifically, you want to understand why you wanted to go for that RTD route, RTD beverage for our listeners.
So let me just clarify, why we did RTD? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Simple, if you look at coffee consumption, it happens in various forms. There is beans, there's instant, there is RTD, ready to drink, which is your Nest, a lot of Amul has a variant, Nestle, Starbucks. When we started, especially when we traveled west, I used to live in the US, the RTD space was extremely evolved. For anyone who's a coffee drinker and wants to have a actual coffee-based beverage, there was a lot of options in the RTD space. Whereas in India, it is more of flavored milk, right? All these products filled with preservatives, sugar, and milk. The taste palettes have evolved, but the brands have not evolved in offering those. So we saw that as a very large opportunity for us to disrupt. So today, when you look at RTD space, there is only Sleepy Owl, right, in the category beyond the original Goliaths that existed. And we've gained market share based on that same very positioning we had, which is to provide a beverage that tastes like coffee and not milk and sugar and preservatives.
So, yeah, so a follow-up to that, would you guys look to ever launch instant coffee? Since that is also a very large market to look at.
See, right now we're just focused on the products we have in our portfolio, which is a lot. I think the amount of launches that we've done in the last 2 years, we have a handful and we want to really grow them. And the idea is that a lot of brands get lost in just launching new products rather than taking and finding their heroes and growing them and making, reaching out to a large consumer base. And that is what we are trying to do, make consumers actually go and try our products. There's, whether you like a cold brew or a hot brew, there's ample amount of flavors available, ample amount of options available, and that is what we're doing.
Thank you, Ajay and Ashwajeet, for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to host you guys. We learned a lot, and I'm sure so did our listeners.
Dear listeners, if you liked this episode, do share it with others looking to learn more about consumer brands. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We would absolutely love to hear your feedback and views. You can tweet it out to us at kcap_in. See you next week with our next episode.